John chapter 1. Curtis, you get that 10 through 13. Yeah, Andreas, can you read Philippians 4, 13? And KJ, can you read 1 John 5, 4? All right, go for it. If you think about these three passages, there's kind of a theme that I want to talk about tonight, somewhat briefly, that I want you to think about. You know, last time we got together, we talked about, and we did like a little exercise about what is your strength? And what has God put in you that when put together with the other parts of your life team makes it strong or makes it, you know, powerful or, you know, because sometimes what we can do in life is we can focus all on what we got to change. We can focus on, well, what didn't go right. And I know, you know, as a former athlete, and I do say former, you're always wanting to get better. And sometimes you don't learn how to enjoy the good things. You don't learn how to enjoy the victory. You know, you don't learn how to enjoy, or what they might say is smell the roses. You know, that I'm learning that now. You know, knocking on 50, tank, tank. You better smell the roses. Because there are a lot of things that you and I should be grateful for. There are things that we don't even recognize and sometimes take for granted. Mm-hmm. But when you think about these passages, right, I want to talk tonight about this idea, the power to become. God gives you and I the power to become. If you stop and you look at your walk with God, you are different from when you started, right? There are some things that are just completely, blatantly obvious. You were here, you said things a certain way, you reacted a certain way, you responded to certain. And then something changed. Something clicked. Something happened that caused you to think differently. Or when circumstances happen in your life, you didn't respond and react the way that you used to. Mm-hmm. Come on, Rosa. Because you became something different. Now, the reality is, in Christ, we're a new creation. But you know, sometimes, guys, you can hear that, but not believe it. Yeah. Now, here's the reality. When you got baptized into Christ, God, what he did was two amazing things. One, he forgave you of your sins. Everything from your past. Not only from your past, but your present. Yeah. And not only your present, but what you gonna do? Wiped it away in Christ. What? That doesn't make sense. The other thing he did was he took the power of that sinful nature, that part of us that wants to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, the way we want it, and he said, bang, 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 and he broke that power over us in Christ. And so when we got baptized into Christ, not only did we those two things happen, the punishment that we should have received, well, that we don't have to fear that anymore. But to be given the power to change, to be given the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that God gives to believers so that they can carry out what he wants, so that they can experience this life that he desires. You can't put a price on that. And so the funny thing is this, we can become just like Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about healing people. I'm not talking about raising people from the dead. I'm not talking about walking on water. Although you may feel like you're having one of those kind of days. Things are just going and you cannot fail, man. It's like, should I play the picket? No. But the point is, the power to become is within us. It's right there. And so, guys, I want you to think about something. Because one of the most important things that you and I have to continue to remember is that it all starts with God. It all began with Him. One day, it's going to end with Him. You know, I was at a funeral earlier this morning, and it was amazing to listen to the way that people described this woman. And it was Bobby Ritter's grandmother. Man, I wish I could have met her. Very inspiring life, and you know, and yet, you know, we have been given this thing called life, and then God gives us an opportunity to have a relationship with Him. And then in this life, God wants us to live this Christ life, this life to the full, because now we recognize that real life is found in one man. Real life is found in this guy called Jesus. And we open that book and we learn and we understand. And again, we decide to follow in His footsteps. And we see the power to become. Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He says, hey, it's more blessed to give than to receive. He says, hey, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow me. He says, anybody that follows me won't be in darkness. In fact, He says, you won't see death. He says, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. The beginning and the end. How's your relationship with God? Not did you have a quiet time. Not did you read your Bible. Not did you pray. How's your relationship with God? Because guys, that's what it's all about. It's all about our relationship with God. With God, what is Jesus? All things are possible. With God, we can do all things. Now, again, I don't want to become an astronaut. I don't want to, you know, whatever. But with God, the door is wide open. I was telling my son on the way over here, I said, you know, I didn't sign up to be a preacher this was not in my mind. This wasn't in my plan. This, who knew? And I'm sure you could stop and think and say, yeah, I didn't have this in my mind, but here we are. And boy, am I so glad. You know, funny, two guys that helped me are in this room. I'm so glad that they said, hey, can I invite you to this informal Bible discussion while I eat my fries? Guys, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because this relationship with God is not a theoretical idea. It's not something that you sit and contemplate on. What is this talking about? 2 Peter chapter 1 Can I get someone to read verse 3 and 4? Go for it, Timmy. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4.
His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world in the world caused by evil desires.
Guys, did you hear what he said? What is God saying? Does he want us to be churchgoers?
Surely not.
Does he want us to just be people who are kind of hanging around? What is that passage saying to you? He says you have everything you need. You are equipped. You are fully loaded. You have everything you need. What else does he say? It's not a spectator sport. This is not come sit in the pew. This is not a Sunday or first midweek of the month or Bible. This is an active relationship. He says, come, I want you to participate in what? The divine nature. Guys, is the divine nature good? Do you enjoy the divine nature that you don't no longer have to live according to your flesh? And hear me out. I'm not talking about being perfect, because nobody is. But you know what's so encouraging? There's a way out of sin. Part of it is confess it. Don't walk around carrying unconfessed sin. Confess it. That's why Jesus, part of his dying was that we don't have to deal with that stuff. We don't have to carry that. That's what he came for. The other part of it is there's a way out. I can be tempted in all kinds of ways and not give in because I got a reason. But we get to participate in this divine nature that makes us really different from the world. Every day we write another chapter in our lives. We have no power. Hear me out, brothers. There is no power to rewrite yesterday's chapter. You can't go back. You can't think about and dwell on how you messed up or because you can't. There's nothing to do with that. There's nothing that you can do about the past except learn from it. But each morning we get a blank sheet in front of us that will be filled one way or another. What are you writing today? What are you writing today? Because every day we get to start over. Every day we get to apologize. We get to repent, like, you know, Peter talked about. We get to start over. You know, guys, there are people who are trapped like a caged animal to the past. They've been hurt. They've been put down. They've been, you know, disrespected. And they're living in the past. They can't even see forward. They get together, and what do they talk about? The past. I said this to my cousins one time. And part of it is, you know, growing up, I was the guy that they would play jokes on, and, you know, I'd be the butt of the jokes, you know. And so there's all, it's funny. Because when I get together sometimes with my cousins, they bring this stuff up. I'm like, why are we talking about this? And I said one time, are we back in high school? I said, what are you doing about the future? How are your kids? How's your wife? Well, you need to get a wife. But we're talking about the past. And I realized some guys, they're living in the past. Yeah, man, you remember that game when we did this? And it's like, we're talking about the past. The future, guys. You know, when you're not looking forward, which way are you going? Every single day we get to write on that blank sheet. What are you writing? Is it regrets? Is it, oh, woe is me? Is it, oh, this one did that one did this? You know, God has allowed us not only to become his children, but he wants us to participate in this divine nature that we overcome the world. But it's about our faith. It's about the fact that we know something. We know him. And because we know him, that makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. See, Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. I'm going to look at this passage and then I'm going to share a few things. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. Listen to what he says. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Guys, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. The psalmist knew something about God. He knew that God was trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he's going to put his trust in him. And because he put his trust in him, because he knew who he was, or he knew what he was capable of, he knew the stories, he knew what God had done, he understood that the Lord never forsakes those who seek him. Guys, I want to encourage us this summer. Seek him. Not a thing. Not a goal. But seek him as you have your goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Man, I want to see 10 couples baptized into Christ this year. That's part of my goal. That's part of something that I've said, you know, with our life team and stuff. It's, hey, let's see couples, not just guys, but couples. Because couples have families. And if we see couples come to Christ and we see families come together, man, it's going to affect the community. And then when we see the community being affected, ooh, it gets really exciting. Real change starts happening. But that doesn't happen if you don't know who you're serving. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Guys, John chapter 6, verse 44. You know, there's something about God that you and I need to always keep fresh in our hearts. All right, I'm running out of time. John chapter 6, verse 44. You with me, bros?
Yes.
All right. John 6, 44. Look at what he says here. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one who has seen the Father, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. You know, something that Jesus had while he was here on earth was what we call drawing power. There was something that drew people to him. You know, in another passage, he talks about how I will draw all men unto me. You know, in that context there, he was talking about a situation that happened in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, where God's people got a little out of control. And they started, you know, being immoral and just sending it up. Moses created this gold snake. And what would happen was people were getting bit by these snakes because they were being disciplined by God because of their sin. But then Moses created this snake and he held it up. And then the people that looked at it would be healed. Okay. So here's the thing. Jesus used that same story to say, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And this, in the way that when Moses lifted up the snake and the people looked to it to be healed, well, Jesus, when he was going to be lifted up to that cross, he was going to draw all men to him and not only save them, but also heal them. Are you with me, guys? Amen. Jesus has drawing power. God has drawing power. Let me ask you a question. What is it about God what is it about God that caused you to decide to surrender and seek him? Sometimes we have to dwell on that. We got to dwell on the things about him that we really, really appreciate. Because all that we've said is true of him. And it's like God's so big and so amazing that sometimes we cannot see it. How many of us have ever seen the movie or read the book Cat in the Hat? You know that part in the movie where the cat comes over and he's on top of the ball and he's like balancing all this stuff and, you know, he's juggling and doing all of this crazy stuff. And you think about that. God has the power to juggle all kinds of stuff. And he's not going to drop the ball or the fish in the bowl as he stands on top of the ball. God's like, he's a very good juggler. He's juggling galaxies. He's juggling black holes. He's juggling vortexes and things we don't even have names for. And yet he's sustaining everything. He's aware of everything. He's so in tune, and especially with his kids. God has drawing power. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He has the whole world in his hand and he doesn't miss a beat. But the thing I love most about him is he forgives and provides for my everyday needs. Not once in a while, not every single day. He's given me what I need. And he has a love for me I don't even get. That I don't probably even have for myself. I want to leave you with three thoughts, three pictures of God tonight. Okay? Let's jot this one down. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Could I get a volunteer to read that? Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Anybody got that? Go ahead, Danny.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Okay. One of the names of God, El Olam. That's O-L-A-M, El Olam, which means the eternal God. Okay, this name teaches us that God created time, yet exists outside of it and beyond it. Before the creation of the universe, there was God with no beginning and no end. All things we know have changed through time, yet our Father never does. Guys, the character of God, his word, his kingdom, all he stands for never changes and never ends. That means we have an unceasing, dependable, trustworthy, and consistent God. God has eternity in view for you and for me. Secondly, Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. Who could read that? Genesis 16, verse 13. Yeah, go ahead, Vince.
That's 16, verse 13, right?
Yes.
Okay. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me.
Elroy. And not Elroy from the Jetsons. L-R-O-I. Which means the God who sees me. This is Hagar. This is where Sarah had banished her. And now she's running away with her son Ishmael. She's Sarah's maidservant. She fled her jealous master who treated her harshly after she bore Abraham's child. She's wandering in the wilderness, desperate and alone. An angel of the Lord appears before Hagar to bring her comfort. And Hagar says, you are El Roy. You are the God who sees me. Guys, you are never, ever, ever alone. Even in our darkest day, even in our darkest trouble, he sees you. He sees me. He sees us. He's always watching. You know, jot this scripture down. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. He knows. He knows. Lastly, who can read Genesis 1, 1? May not need your Bible for that one. No. Go ahead, Nick.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Elohim. Father. God the creator. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. This name comes from being in awe of his power displayed throughout nature. One of the things I love about nature is that I see God in it. I see him in the trees and the animals. And, you know, it's funny. We had a cookout at our house last Saturday for our visionary life team. Now, guys, it's cool when you can get your friends together. You know, we're trying to plant Christ in West Orange. And it was so cool because we had, you know, DJ RC Rob Cook on the Wheels of Steel DJing that day. And everybody, the Pierre Antoines, Masons, the Torreses, we came together, we brought food, and there's probably about 20 or so guests, maybe even more than that. My son had, you know, four of his teammates came, and six different families. So the neighbor across the street, the neighbor to the right, and then, you know, another neighbor that just moved in. One of the coaches came with his son. Man, it was awesome. But I didn't tell anybody this. Under our shed lives a family of gophers. And the whole time I'm praying, Lord, please don't let them come. And they didn't come out. They didn't come out. There was no fellowship with the gophers. But I'm just saying, even in my backyard, I'm seeing nature. I'm seeing the squirrels and the birds, the gophers, the cats. I love being outside. I love looking at the skies. I love looking at the clouds and just being outside, because God, our Father, our God, he created it all. And then he decided that he put you and I right where we are so that we would do him some good, and that we would infect the area that we're in with Christ. You know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, you can read that later, you jot it down. But God is the sovereign God and God of eternity. In the beginning, he created just by the power of his spoken word. What an amazing God we serve, brothers. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. I want to encourage us this summer to remember him. When we get up in the morning, we got a lot to be thankful for. Do not let Satan and his demons jump on you with what I had to do. But give him thanks every single day that you get to wake up. And those of us who have wives, that she gets to wake up. And that we can have those life partners, soulmates, or our kids. You know, Blair graduated, I've shared that before. It's crazy. Because I put this little video together called The First Day of School. And I have every grade, her first day of school. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, boy, that went by fast. But I'm saying, I marveled at watching my baby girl grow up. I can only imagine how God feels about you and I, about who we're becoming, about what we're like now after 20, 30 years, and what we're going to be. But the power to become is right in front of us, brothers. Do not settle for anything less. Aim very high. Keep believing God can do anything. So whether it's our family members, co-workers, or ourselves, whatever, he can do all things. through you and I. He wants to do all things. Let's be willing participants, surrendered to his will. Those who know your name trust in you, O Lord, for you have never forsaken those who seek you. Amen. Amen.